Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Good to be with you.
When you first heard the story, what did you make of it?
Having known about this Talpiot tomb since 1980, and having known about the previous attempt over 10 years ago by the BBC to do a show on this, and it was all panned and critiqued and all of that, I went, oh no, here we go again. I guess our attention span in the West is so short that we have senior moments and don't remember that this thing is already had been laid to rest but now is brought back up again. Nobody gave any credence to the idea that this was the tomb of Jesus in 1980 when this was originally dug up, and or again when there was a show about it in 1996 either. So here we go again. There are actually six boxes with inscriptions, and there are three, I guess, without.
Mm-hmm.
And they have various names on them. Now, almost all of these names are exceedingly common ancient Jewish names. I mean, names like Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Jude, those names are rather like Smith, Jones, that sort of thing in antiquity. So these are exceedingly common names, and that's one of the reasons that the original archaeologist Shimon Gibson or Amos Klodner never gave any thought whatsoever to this being some kind of family tomb of the family of Jesus. The names were just simply too common.
But some would say that the likelihood of seeing all of those three names together, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, could be a little bit too coincidental.
Right. Some people would argue that. There are a lot of problems with that kind of argument because it assumes that we know that the sort of known listing of names that we have from looking at the literary, the archaeological, the epigraphal, and other kinds of evidence are representative samplings of the, how frequently the names were used in general. When, in fact, the truth of the matter is your statistical analysis is only good as the numbers that you run. And the numbers that they ran was very incomplete. The truth of the matter is that the majority of the evidence is still under the ground. Perhaps as few as a third of all the archaeological sites that we now know of have been dug in Israel. There are tons of tombs that have not been excavated at all in Israel. So there's no way to know that the concurrent proportions of usages of names are representative of the time of Jesus. And yet, this show is going to argue that, there's a 600-to-1 chance that this is not the tomb of Jesus. In other words, the odds are overwhelming that it is. Well, frankly, we don't know that. They're making a faith assumption that these numbers are representative.
The very tomb itself, the Talipot tomb, what kind of people would have been buried there? If we look at the historical background behind Jesus' family and the kinds of families that have been, or family names that have been dug up from that particular tomb, would the one fit in the other?
Well, this is a very appropriate question. Let's talk about the locale of it just for a minute, okay? It's actually not in Old Jerusalem. It's several miles outside of what would have been Old Jerusalem. It's within the city limits of modern Jerusalem, but that's a whole different matter. It's a tomb that would have been out in a sheep field somewhere between Jerusalem and Bethlehem in its own day. The tomb has this remarkable rondelle carving on the outside of it with a big circle and perhaps a triangle as well, and that's found inside the tomb as well. So it's an ornate opening to the tomb. Now, that means, among other things, that the filmmakers of this show are dead wrong, that this could not possibly have been a secret tomb. It seems very clear to me that this tomb was meant to be seen and meant to be displayed, and whoever's in this tomb is not afraid of anybody and is not hiding from anybody. And then you have to ask the question, why in the world would a family from Nazareth, who is, they're not peasants, but I would call them sort of blue-collar, They're a family of artisans. They're either stonemasons or carpenters, as the traditional theory goes. Why would they have a reasonably ornate tomb outside of Jerusalem at all? They're from Nazareth. Their ancestors ancestral lineage is from Bethlehem, but this tomb is certainly not in Bethlehem either. And we have clear historical traditions that say that Jesus was originally buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea within Old Jerusalem, you know, very close to the old city walls of Jerusalem. And James was also buried within the city. In fact, Eusebius, the 4th century Jewish historian, says he was buried within sight of the Temple Mount. Well, the Talpiot tomb is nowhere near the Temple Mount at all. So, you know, what you've got to do if you want to conclude that the Talpiot tomb is the tomb of the family of Jesus is you have to basically ignore all the earlier historical evidence about where these folks were buried, or you have to theorize that under the dark of the night somebody came and stole away Jesus' body and dragged it off to this tomb. But the James ossuary didn't get the memo. So, I mean, I think the historical evidence refutes this theory all by itself, never mind the other flaws in the logic of their argument.
Also seems to be a little bit of a riding on the coattails of the Da Vinci Code, because we've got this other element here that there's also an ossuary there for the child of Jesus.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is there's one of the ossuaries that says Jude, son of Yeshua, okay? Now, first of all, we don't have any historical evidence that Jesus was married at all, never mind married to Mary Magdalene. There, even the later Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Mary, do not say this. The most they say is that Mary Magdalene was a close companion of Jesus. But then so were other persons. The word koinonos, companion, in that document does not mean spouse. It never did. And in any case, the Gnostics, despite Dan Brown's enthusiasm, would have been the last people to suggest that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married, because they were ascetics. They were monks. They did not believe that marriage was God's highest and best purpose. If you wanted to be a spiritual person, you avoided sexual contact. So, I mean, neither the canonical Gospels nor the later Gnostic Gospels suggest that Jesus was ever married to anyone at any point in time.
It does raise the question, though, that if you discount all of this kind of evidence that's going to be quote-unquote evidence that's going to be put into this quote-unquote documentary, you have to come back to the whole idea that the bones of Jesus have not been found because they can't be found.
Well, right. And, you know, even if you're skeptical about the resurrection, the earliest traditions we have in all four Gospels, in Acts, in Paul's letters are our earliest New Testament documents, all not only assume but know that the tomb was empty. Even the Jewish officials admit that the tomb was empty. It was not full. Now, and to me, the most troubling part of this documentary is that you have to assume or accuse the earliest followers of Jesus after the crucifixion of fraud. You have to assume that they were claiming that Jesus rose from the dead in the body. But in fact, what they did is under the cover of the night, they came and stole away the body and hid it in another tomb outside of town at Talpiot. Now, I have a very hard time believing the brother of Jesus named James, or Peter, James, and John, or Mary Magdalene, or any of the earliest disciples who were prepared to put their life on the line would have done that, knowing that the body of Jesus was moldering in a grave outside of town, and in fact, he had not been raised in the body. Now, one of the things that happens in this documentary that's not uncommon is people try to redefine the word resurrection. What the word resurrection always meant in early Judaism, it was a Pharisaic idea, and what it meant for earliest Christians who affirmed this concept is a miracle that happens to a body. It does not refer to, I had a visionary experience, or I had some kind of dream, or there was some kind of wish projection. Resurrection is not something that happens to the viewer of a deceased body. Resurrection is something that happens to a deceased body. Hmm. That's how early Jews viewed resurrection. Now, you may or may not believe in resurrection, but you have to at least allow the people who wrote the New Testament documents and wrote other early Jewish documents to have their own definition of what resurrection was.
Mm. Really appreciate your time tonight on Open House, and thanks for clearing this up for us.
You are most welcome. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.